Today on Tips from the Top Floor, we'll focus on one single question. Are my pictures any good? This episode is brought to you by discoverthetopfloor.com. Join us on a photo tour to the wild Atlantic coast off the northwest of Ireland, including the excursion to some of the stunning places Game of Thrones has been filmed at, to the stunningly beautiful Lofoten Archipelago in northern Norway, or on an amazing desert-themed photo tour to Morocco in August, September, and October later this year. Join a group of like-minded people, no matter if you're a pro or if you're still learning. We know all those places pretty well, and we'll make sure you will be at the right place at the right time to get some of the most amazing photography of your life. Learn to do the photography you've always dreamed to do. Find out more at discoverthetopfloor.com. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 822 for the 10th of May, 2018.
Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right, from the top floor.
Hey, and welcome. This is episode 822, and when you're listening to this, well, when it's released on the 10th of May, I'm about to begin the New York Tilt Shift photography workshop, and I've teamed up with Canon there. Canon has three new tilt shift lenses out. This is not an ad for Canon, right? This is not paid, but that's what I'm doing, and I'm happy to meet a lot of you there, and we're gonna have an amazing time. I'm pretty sure about that. Now, the question I received here is one that I receive every now and then, and I love to receive it every now and then because it is something that I think we should all be aware of and over time discuss it. I'm talking about the following question.
Hi, Chris. My name's Susanna, and I'm from England. I'm a recent listener to the show, and I'm one of those who is simultaneously listening to the new ones as they come out, so that's episode 800 and something. And also, I've gone right back to the beginning, and I think I'm on episode 50 there. So I'm learning a lot, especially from the first shows about very basic concepts. Right, so my question is, how do you get to know if your photos are any good or not? Because I've really no idea if they're pretty rubbish or actually, you know, not bad. I was wondering if there's any forums or photo sites you can go on where you can get them critiqued by somebody who knows what they're talking about. Because I find if I show them to friends and family, they'll say, lovely picture, good shot or something like that. And I'm really none the wiser because, you know, they'd probably say that anyway, even if they weren't very good. So I'd like some... any tips and advice you can give me on that would be great. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Susanna, thank you so much for sending in that question. I'm always happy to receive that, as I said. Well, first of all, welcome to the community. Yay. Let's all say hi to Susanna. Yeah. Are your pictures any good? What makes a picture good? That's, I think, probably the more important question. Before you can say something is good, you have to kind of get a baseline. What does good mean? And those criteria can vary widely between tons of people. Everyone has different criteria for what is a good picture. Always depends on who's looking at them, from what background. But that question is a very, very normal one and a very usual one, especially at the beginning of a photography career. When you start taking pictures, it will probably take a few years until you start to understand what makes a good photo and what doesn't. And let me try to paint some really broad strokes here and what the criteria might be at different times in the development of a photographer. In the beginning, at least, I'm looking at myself here, okay? This is when I started off. My criteria were often the technology. Is it sharp? How does the bokeh look? Is the contrast good? Are the colors nice and saturated? Do they look right? Are they shifted? Are the blues looking like blues and so on? Very stuff that is kind of easy to handle for at least someone like me with with a bit of a techie inclination. So those are criteria. Yeah, does it look technically look okay? And then as I developed and as I became better, as I was more intermediate, I was starting to think way more about composition and placement of the subject and the tidiness of my compositions, all stuff that's way beyond the technique, but still relatively easy to grasp. You know, the things that you can learn, things that you can read books about and discuss on forums, and many photographers will be perfectly happy at that stage. And I would say still the majority of my photos are probably somewhere in that vicinity, you know? Decent compositions, tidy pictures, decent technical skills. So it's a combination of the two. The technical skills aren't as much at the forefront anymore because they are kind of they're ingrained in me, you know? I do them automatically. It's like learning to drive a car. I don't really think about shifting and stuff anymore. I just do it. And then that gives me a bit more freedom to look at composition and stuff like that. So over time, you will become better. You will shift towards that thing. And then the next level somewhere after maybe 10 years, I don't know, is the, let's call it in air quotes, the pro level or the mastery level when you get to a point where you're really good. And that's where a lot of photographers will start to understand that, wait a minute, this is pretty much not really what it's about. Photography is about light, about the story, about emotion. And these are concepts that are much harder to grasp. They're not as easy to learn. You can't teach emotion. You can teach how to evoke emotion, but that's a different thing. Now imagine, just to illustrate that, let me give you a little story. Wait, before I do that, let's take a minute to thank our sponsors and then I'll be back with more. This episode is brought to you by WeTransfer, which is a service that I personally use all the time to share big files around the world for free. And again, I've just done that with my publisher, sending back and forth proof copies for the Wide Angle book. So yeah, I use the service myself. WeTransfer is all about making the creative process easier for everyone. There is no sign-in, no offer codes, no password to forget. Just upload, send, and get back to making what you make. Couldn't be easier. 40 million people use WeTransfer to send and receive files every month, and since day one, they've devoted 30% of their ad space to showcasing creative people from around the world, from musicians to illustrators to photographers to podcasters like me. So in that spirit, let me skip the rest of this short ad and get on with it. This show is also supported by Udemy, the largest marketplace for online learning. Whether you want to learn something new or just sharpen your skills, Udemy has an extensive library of over 65,000 courses taught by expert instructors. Ever find yourself thinking, I wish I could do that? With Udemy, you can. From web development to digital marketing to Japanese cooking courses or photography, Udemy has something for everyone. While other online learning companies charge hundreds of dollars per class, Udemy courses start at just $11.99. Plus, each course comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee for risk-free learning. Every day, students around the world choose Udemy to discover new passions, expand their skills, and even change careers. Improve your life through learning. Download the Udemy app to learn anytime, anywhere, or visit www.ud.my/topfloor today. That's www.ude.my/topfloor. Again, ude.my/topfloor. And I thank them so much for the support. All right, let's go back to that emotion part. And let me try to explain how this all kind of fits together. Imagine, here's a story. Okay, close your eyes if you're not driving a car right now or if you're not operating heavy machinery. Close your eyes. You are on a vacation in a desert, in a little oasis. You feel a warm desert breeze going through your hair. You feel the sand under your feet. You hear sounds of a nearby camp. There are smells in the air because at the camp someone started a fire and the barbecue is about to begin. And you take a picture of the sunset. And there are palm trees in your shot and a camel. And it's a beautiful shot. It's a very nicely composed shot. And the setting sun and someone, the setting sun is in the picture and someone comes over from the camp and taps you on the shoulder and hands you a cool drink. And that photo you just took, of the sunset, with the palm trees, and the camel. It's a technically good photo. But what makes it really special for you is all the stuff that happened around it. The sounds, the feelings, the smells, everything. That's now in your, I call it the backpack, you know, it's all in your backpack. And it's 100% linked with that photo. And whenever you look at that photo, all that comes back to you, all that you put in the backpack, you take out again. So you look at that photo and you feel the sand, you feel the wind, you hear the sounds, you smell the fire, and all that is there for you. Now, if your friends look at that same photo, they have nothing of what you just had. They have nothing of that in their backpack. They weren't there when you took the picture. All they see is a two-dimensional photo. So all that emotion that you have around that photo isn't there for them. At least not in the same way as it was for you. Now, I love to bring up the example of my mom as well, because it's similar. And I've talked about this before, but it's worth repeating. My sister sent my mom photos of her two grandsons in an email. And they were fairly low resolution. They were not meant to be printed. They were meant to be looked at on a smaller screen. But my mom still printed them, right? She has an office printer with office paper, nothing really photo related. And as a photographer, that's a bit of a painful thought, you know. You need better photo paper, better contrasts, and better colors. And so those photos are up on the wall. My mom loves that photo. She doesn't care that it's low resolution and that it's all pixelated. She doesn't care that the contrasts are all off, because it's not a dedicated photo printer. Doesn't matter. The photo has her grandkids on it, and that's what counts, and the rest is not important. So emotion in a shot usually happens if the viewer kind of connects with that photo on one or more levels. And that's, I think, one of the most important things to realize is, yeah, if you ask someone for their feedback, your family, your friends, of course they want to be nice to you. So they won't look at the photo and say, yeah, it sucks. No one does that unless they're a real jerk. But they usually aren't, and you want to be nice to them too. So yes, of course. Also, they are not photographers. I think that's even more important. They don't have a trained eye. They haven't dealt with photography the way you have and many of us have. So it's difficult to get like an honest feedback. Yeah, nice shot. Oh, I love it. Oh, it's beautiful. But that is all based, their critique is all based on their own criteria, their own backpack. Of course, if they know the people in that photo, they will have a different emotional reaction to the photo than if they don't know the people. If they have been to that desert oasis and they know what it's like, then they will have an emotional reaction to it. Or if they have always had the dream to go to a place like that, then that also, and they've read up on it and they've watched videos about it, and then they come back and look at your photo, that will evoke a different reaction for sure. But it is always the recipient and their own criteria that they will judge a photo on. So if you go online, if you go to any forum, Flickr, and so on, and you ask people to critique your photo, it's difficult, because depending on where they are, let's say they've just started themselves with photography and they might think they're better than they actually are. That does happen. Happened to me. And their criteria, again, might be technology. Is it sharp? Does it have nice bokeh? And then you might get some feedback that says, the bokeh is too coarse, it's not smooth enough. Or you get the feedback of, the contrast could be better, your black point is off, the colors are weird, you need to do this in Adobe RGB and not in sRGB. And then even if they are further along that development scale, they might be talking about, yeah, that subject needs more space on the top, it looks weird, the composition could be more tidy, there's that thing in the background, which you might totally love in the background, but they go, yeah, but that is just disturbing, and that doesn't help the composition zone. And they have their own criteria that you might completely not have. So I would be generally careful. Also, a lot of these online places, it's a tit for tat kind of thing. If you want feedback, you have to give feedback. I mean, that's an important thing to understand. Just going there and expecting other people to donate their time that they probably don't have to critique your photos, what's in it for them? So they want something back. So there are places on, there are groups on Facebook and so on that have, or on Flickr, that have this tit for tat kind of thing. You have to critique 10 photos and then you can place one and get some critique for it. Those have never really worked for me. One thing that has worked for me is to look at a lot of photography, to make up your own mind, to get a photo book, to get a few good photo books, coffee table books. Look at that photography, find some of the photography that emotionally touches you, and try to figure out why that is. Try to understand why that is. One of the most important things we do on workshops is reviewing photos. So we review them in the group and people critique other people's photos, and it's on the one hand it's a bit scary if you haven't done that before, but on the other hand you will get to critique other people's photos and you will have to think about why you like it and why you don't like it, or what you like about it and what you don't like about it. And that is an exercise that is worth so much. And this is the feedback I get after the workshop, said that was the most important thing, to be able to, well, wrap your head around why photos work and why they don't. There's one place that I think might work for photo critique, and that is the Tips from the Top Floor Slack. This is this online community we have with, how many people are on there now? I don't even know. Lots. And there are channels on there. One is called Photo Critique. And that's a channel where a little sub-community formed of people who have a photo and they want to hear other people's opinions about them. And then you, of course, are supposed to give your own opinion as well. Check that out. If you want to get on the Slack, it's at tfttf.com/whyslack, WHYSLACK. And our CIO Russ will help you get an invitation into the Slack, and then you'll be part of a wonderful community and take it from there. And that was it for this week's episode of Tips from the Top Floor. Hey, you guys are amazing. Thanks again for your support. If you want to help keep TFTTF going, hey, go on over to tfttf.com/support. That's tfttf.com/support. There are quite a few ways to make a difference. Thank you so much. And of course, thanks also to WeTransfer and Udemy for helping make this episode possible. Also, don't forget to send in your voicemails. Again, you know I love getting stuff from you, your questions or feedback or just some tips or anecdotes. You know the drill. Record on your smartphone. Send to voice@tfttf.com. That's voice@tfttf.com. As always, music for the show by Jeff Smith, silent partner Hans Peter Kagerud, publishing and Slack challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Rapsitar Armstead, Slack imitations by Chief Imitation Officer CIO Rusty Russ. I'm Chris Marquardt. Go out and take amazing photos. Be nice to each other. And happy shooting.